Now for our feature story, we're out on a property in the foothills of the Southern Alps in Canterbury with father and son, sheep and beef farmers, Blair and Hamish Gallagher. Cosmo Kentish Barnes called in to find out about the farm and the new and meaty sheep breed Blair's proudly brought into the country.
We've got a property called Ringiatia, and we've also bought an additional block called Waianawa, right next door. It's got very heavy flats and just a really good balance of flat paddocks, basically. And then we've got another block which we call the Glengyle Hill block, which is about another 1.5 km further down the road.
What does Rangiatia mean?
It means heavenly place.
It's not that heavenly here right now.
No, it certainly isn't. It hasn't been an easy winter. We had major floods at the end of May and did considerable amount of damage. It was followed up about 2 weeks later by another major flood. Took out quite a lot of our approaches and culverts and quite a lot of slips again. And then we've had two major windstorms, and today isn't exactly great either. They're talking another up to 100k winds. So it's been a very difficult later part of the winter. It's been cold, it's been wet, and we're reasonably on top of the feed.
And we can see some snow on the tips of the mountains further south. What are they called?
Yes, you're looking at down the bottom there without the snow, that's Little Mount Peel, and the one with the snow is Big Mount Peel. And if you're looking back through, we've got Mount Summers, which is very prominent, and then we've got the Winter's Low Range, Barossa, and then you're back to Aldoris Country, Erewhon, Mesopotamia behind us. So we run about 5,000 ewes total, and we've had amazing scannings this year. We've averaged over 190% scanning. Our hill ewes, they scan 206%. Our stud Perendales did 199, and that included tutus. And our terminals were 191, which included tutus. So we've had a very, very good scanning. So we've just got to somehow make sure that they survive.
We can see some of those ewes on the hills in the distance. It's quite exposed up there, isn't it?
It is. They're on their last rotation before we set stock them, probably within about another week. They've been pre-lamb shorn about 5 weeks ago. They're on very, very good grass, but it is some of our more exposed paddocks. They're up over 2,000 feet there.
Now, we have driven across a part of your farm, and we are looking at a flock of sheep. We're not getting out of the ute because it's very windy and wet. Tell me about these sheep that we can see.
Yes, well, the Baltics, I think the easiest way to remember them is Belgium Texel, and the original Texels that came into New Zealand didn't have the double muscling trait. So that's the big difference between a Beltex and a Texel. They're a derivative of the Texel, but they have got incredibly well muscled and very, very good through the loin.
And you were responsible for bringing this breed into the country?
Yes, along with Dr. Jock Allison. He was one of the top sheep geneticists in New Zealand. We formed a partnership between him and ourselves, and also John Tavendale, a very well-known farm advisor, who's also a family friend and knew Jock as well. He bought into a small stake of the business.
Is this the most recent new sheep breed to come into the country?
Yes, it is. I think there's been a few milking-type sheep brought into the country as embryos, but this is really it's been a long time since there's been a new sheep breed brought into the country.
Would that have been, the East Frisian, perhaps?
Yes, probably.
That 12 years ago?
Yes. So Dr. Jock Ellison, he was very instrumental in bringing in the Texel, East Frisians. So he did have a lot of knowledge around the protocols and what needed to happen to get these sheep into the country.
What made you get interested in this breed?
Well, we saw them in the UK at the different shows, and I just couldn't believe the amount of meat and muscling on the sheep. And 15 years prior to bringing them in, I approached Jock and said, look, is there any chance we can get these sheep into the country? He basically came back and said, no, it's in the too hard basket. We could do it, but it'll probably be $3 million. a lot of quarantine and a lot of hassle, so I soon lost interest. And then 5 years, 6 years ago, I'd won a genetic award and I had to travel to Masterton to receive it. Jock was on the bus and he said, "Blair, the MPI have relaxed the rulings around this. Still quite stringent, but are you keen?" I said, "Yes, I am." And within 2 weeks, we were in the UK.
Mm. So the rule change was that you could bring embryos and sperm into the country, but not live animals.
That's correct. We still had to go through very stringent health checks, and I think there were 16 different health diseases we had to tick off. Still very, very stringent, but we didn't have that long period of quarantine, which is the costly part.
So when you got over to the UK, where did you go? What did you do?
We basically went to, initially, just to one stud, the Buckle Broxy stud, which was very, very well known at the time. But since then, we went back, I think, over a three-year period, and we looked at the more well-known studs, and we went through and selected ewes that we felt were commercially suitable for New Zealand, and we took embryos off those.
Did it cost quite a bit to do that?
Yeah, I think we were looking at a sharp end of over 3 years of close to $1 million. A big investment, but we're certainly getting the results, and farmers throughout New Zealand, from Northland to Gore, are certainly getting the increased yield and mustling coming through their sheep.
So when you went over to the UK, you knew that to do this was going to cost quite a lot of money?
Probably more than we thought, to be honest, and that's probably why we had the partnership. And in the last 2 years, Jock wasn't well, and last year, quite a big year, we bought another farm, paid Jock out, and John Tavendale increased his stake slightly, and my son Hamish, who came home at the same time as we bought the Beltex into New Zealand, he took up a 12.5% stake of the business.
Hamish, what was your reaction when Blair told you that he was keen on introducing this breed into the country?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I didn't really know too much about the Beltex because I'd never seen them before, but after looking into it a bit, it was pretty exciting seeing what they can do, and it was great for me personally being able to come home at the same time, the same year that we were bringing them in. Well, Dad was bringing them in, so yeah, it's been great to get behind them from the start. Yeah.
So you were in at the ground floor.
Yeah, that's it. So it's been really good, and seeing the progress we've made over the last couple of years, it's been a great wee side addition to the usual day to day type things going on the farm. Yeah. Yeah.
What have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced in terms of, you know, day-to-day farming this breed?
They're probably a slightly different breed to handle. Like, we've got a Perrindale flock at home, and as soon as you put a dog out, they bolt away, whereas these ones, they almost turn and look at you. So it's a different way of handling them, but they've been good. Lambing side of things has probably been a bit more focused than the usual lambing at home, but no, everything's been, it's been going well, thanks, yeah.
And are you about halfway through lambing the Beltex sheep at the moment?
Yeah, so we've just finished the purebreds last week, so we've got about 150 of the purebred lambs on the ground this year, which is the most we've had, so that's quite exciting. And we also run the crossbred flock, so we've got Beltex Suffolk, Beltex Texel and Beltex Cheviot ewes. So they're about halfway through lambing at the moment, so there's plenty going on, catching the lambs and tagging them and weighing them all. We do a DNA parentage test to find out who the fathers are, the sires. So, yeah, there's quite a lot going on at this time of year.
What were you doing before you came back to the farm?
I was at Lincoln University, and then I basically took a couple of years off and went around overseas, which was quite lucky at the time, looking back now, and had a good look around. And then I was originally thinking of working on a few different properties around the country and learning from other people, but the fact that we were bringing this breed back right at the time, it sort of made sense to come home, and yeah, it's been great. So yeah,
how nice to have Hamish back on the farm.
Yeah, it's been really good, and I think just carrying on from Hamish, in the UK There's very little recording done over there.
For this breed?
For this breed, or any breed, to be honest. Some farmers are starting to catch on to it, but we've put the Beltex and all the crosses are on the soil program, Stock Improvement Limited, and we feel once we get some real numbers, we'll be able to cull, and I think we'll make some significant progress. Because in the UK, there's very little culling on anything. Structurally, productive-wise, yeah, there's not a lot done. So really, I think we can make some major gains in the next 10 years.
What are some of the issues that you'd like to breed out of the Beltex?
Well, probably structural issues is probably number one, and I think that all the younger sheep coming through have culled and culled and culled, and I'm really happy with the progress we're making there. And then we need to be looking at pelvic size, because even though the lambs are born quite small, the Beltex isn't a big breed, so we do have a few issues with lambing some of the single ewes. The multiples are no problem, and no problem over crossbreeds, but
probably the size of the ewe.
Yeah, it's the size of the ewe. They're not a big ewe, and I think we need to place more emphasis on pelvic size.
How long would it take to breed out a trait like that?
Well, structure's not hard to cull for. You've just got to have the numbers. And if you're looking at another trait, well, you don't really want to be concentrating on any more than two traits, otherwise you don't make any progress in any of them. Yeah.
I will put some photographs of the ewes and lambs onto the Country Life webpage, but how would you describe them? Because they do look quite different, don't they?
I'll let you describe them.
Well, the first thing I'd say would be that the lambs have quite big, muscular bottoms. They're quite wide, aren't they?
They are, and probably the really interesting thing is that people say, how do you lamb those lambs when they see them 3-4 weeks old? But as lambs, they look like a normal lamb, but in that 2 to 3 weeks later, they just change. It's a bit like being on steroids. They put this huge amount of muscle on.
Their faces look different too. They're a bit more squashed up and their ears stick up, don't they?
They do. They've got very pricky ears and they've got more of a cow-type face than a sheep face. A lot of people say they're not exactly beautiful, but I guess that's in the beholder, I guess. But they're very productive around meat yield and total amount of meat.
How much more meat do they produce compared to a Suffolk or a Perrondale? What sort of results do they give farmers?
Yeah, pretty amazing differences. The total killing out percentage on all lambs killed throughout the processing industry in New Zealand is around 42-43%. The Texels were the highest at about 48%, but the Agricultural Institute, Scottish Institute, did a 3-year trial with Beltex and other terminal breeds. Really interesting what came out of that. Over the 3 years, the Beltex came in between 56 and 57% killing out percentage. So about a 7% increase, which is huge, because if we even get half of that into the sheep industry, it costs no more to process that lamb. And if we can pick up another 5 to 7% increase in yield on a $9 schedule, that's quite a significant amount of money back into the farmer's pocket.
Even if the lambs are crossbred?
Yeah, if they're crossbred, if you order half ram from us, you're going to pick up half the advantage.
What sort of interest has there been from farmers around the country in this new breed?
Yeah, I think really interesting at the first sale. I think everyone, because they're so different, everyone sort of, they pull back a little bit from the Beltex, and our crossbred rams actually sold at a premium to the pures. But then once people had actually used them and saw the real advantage, that changed in the following sale. And we achieved phenomenal prices for some of our pures. In fact, record prices for ram lambs. We sold one at $21,000 and one at $22,000.
A ram lamb?
A ram lamb, which was a record for New Zealand.
Do you have an on-farm sale once a year?
So we, the first couple of years, we just had one on-farm sale. It was a ram-lamb sale in March. And then the last couple of years, well, this is our fourth or fifth year into it now, so the last couple of years we've had two sales each year. We're having a two-tooth sale in November, and then we're continuing our ram-lamb sale in March. And, yeah, the idea behind that was probably a lot of the North Island guys or early lambing country, if they're buying ram lambs in March, they're probably getting them a bit late for their mating. A lot of them are mating sort of earlier than that, so it gives them a chance to be able to buy rams. Also, a lot of farmers are quite keen to see sheep as two-year-olds with a bit more weight on them, sort of a bit better with structure and things like that. And we've got the numbers now where we can do two sales.
Can I just add to that, Hamish? And also the other thing that we found with having spread out lambings, quite a lot of our later lambs are not quite big enough to go into the ram lamb sales. So we tend to take those later born lambs into the earlier sale.
So you must wrap your lamb rams up in cotton wool.
No, we feed them well, but they're not. You know, they're naturally fed. There's the grass and plantains, that type of thing. So, no, we don't push them any more than that, do we, Hamish?
No, they're well fed, but they're not
pampered.
The mob are slowly moving out into the middle of the paddock. They look like they're quite hardy. They're not too concerned about the gale force winds.
Yeah, well, the Texel breed as a whole are a hardy breed. And I think one thing we have noticed that the lambs are quite vigorous at birth and they're very, very quick to get up and get a drink. So in a lot of the parts of Scotland where we've brought these embryos out of, it's quite difficult country. And where you see some of the Beltexes running on some of the heather moorland, it's not easy. So, yep, they are reasonably hardy.
Could you potentially in the future start marketing the meat as Beltex?
Yes, I think we can. In the UK, the butchers pay a huge premium to get Beltex and Beltex cross lambs.
Why is that?
Just for the extra yield, and they really love the 3/4, 7/8 and halves. And in the UK, there's three companies that solely process Beltex and Beltex cross lambs, and they principally go into the Muslim market in Europe, into Holland, Belgium and Germany, and there's huge demand for that there. So we have got the bigger population of Muslim people actually live in Asia, and I think there's an opportunity to really target that market.
Yes, but of course you'll need numbers before you can even
exactly
think about doing that.
Exactly. But we have got a lot of numbers. We've sold a lot of rams out into commercial people now. So even though they might only have a 1/8 influence, they've still, it's quite a strong characteristic.
As you've mentioned, it's cost near on $1 million to get to this point. How are you going to make your money back?
We're well and truly on the right side of the ledger. Yep, we've crossed that barrier.
Already?
Well, quite a while ago. So we are selling embryos and semen overseas, and we've got really good demand in our two sales. So, yeah, but we're certainly on the right side of the ledger.
Hamish, how does the whole embryo system work?
It's quite a complex process. So we're taking embryos the last few years off our own ewes, so we're selecting our best two-year-olds and using some imported frozen semen to get new genetics, or using some of our top rams, and we are then putting them into surrogate ewes, surrogate mothers, and they're having these pure Beltex lambs. But the first few years we've obviously been bringing frozen embryos in from overseas, but we're getting better results using fresh embryos rather than frozen. So if we can just bring in imported semen, that's probably where we're going to try and bring our new genetics in if we can.
What are your hopes for the future for this breed?
Yeah, I think that there will be certain satellites of pures, but where the real advantage is in crossing them to get that trait into other terminal breeds. So that's the real advantage.
Whoa! Now, as you can hear, it's extremely windy here, gale force winds, but I do want to take a picture of Hamish and Blair in front of this mob of Beltex ewes and lambs.
It's terrible weather.
There's a few trees that have come down this morning.
Yeah. There's a couple of new trees down, and yeah, it's not great for lambing at this time of year.
Get a bit closer. Whew. What a day. You've got a gate on the ground over there.
We have, just there. a temporary gate. We're putting a new fence in there, but it's blown over, so we're just going to go and fix that.
At the moment, you must be very busy. Do you get a break?
At this time of year, we really don't. It's heads down, and Hamish and I have been off the place for a couple of weeks, and over that next 3 weeks, we'll be 7 days a week. So we have the Christchurch show, we take the Baltic sheep there, and tailing's done by that stage, and that's our first real break, is the show.
Do you enjoy it?
Do you mean the farming?
Yeah, the farming.
Oh, yes, I love it. Yeah, that's what it's my passion, that's what I love doing, and I'm really lucky to have a son that's keen to farm, and I'm 66, so I hope I'm not a nuisance to Hamish, but it is what I enjoy doing, so hopefully I'll be here for a few more years yet.
Beltex sheep breeder Blair Gallagher. Cosmo was also talking to Hamish Gallagher at the family farm near Mount Somers in Canterbury.